Our text today comes both from the Old Testament, our Hebrew scriptures, and the New Testament. We begin in Genesis, and we're going to move to Acts. I'm using the New Living Translation. Words will be on the screen, and I invite you, if you will, to listen with your ears, with your hearts, with your minds, with your entire being to the ancient words of our text, beginning with Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now moving to the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God in us, for the Word of God with us, thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to gather with all the saints as we gather around the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, descend upon this place. Dispel from our hearts, just for a moment, the cares and concerns. Help us, O God, to listen intently to your voice. Open our hearts, though they be of stone, to you. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, have your will and your way with us. Speak, O Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us that we may hear you and have the audacity to follow you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We continue on our Lenten journey as we more or less dissect the Apostles' Creed. We have studied what it means to believe in God. We have studied just briefly what it means to believe in Jesus the Christ. And today we take that one phrase, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and begin to scratch the surface, if you will, what it means to believe in the Spirit. If you will, for a moment, I'm going to ask you to do a little experiment. Kind of get comfortable. Don't go to sleep. I want you to close your eyes and take in a deep breath and exhale. Take in another one and hold it and exhale. And one last time, take in a deep breath and exhale. You can open your eyes. Breathing. So vital. And some of us have trouble this season of the year in Tennessee breathing. Ever consider your breath? Some of us practice meditation where we consider our breath during that time of meditation. Breath. I've been privileged to be at the birth of several children and hear that born in cry, to hear that first breath of a child outside of the womb. Breath. How very important. And I've also had the privilege of being at the bedside of a saint who takes their last breath here, and their next breath is with God. Breath, wind, spirit. We can read about the Spirit in the Old Testament. We don't think about it very much, but the Spirit is mentioned somewhere between 80 and 90 times in the Old Testament. In fact, we read about it in the first of our biblical selections, and it said the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Hebrew word for spirit, wind, air, or breath is ruach. It's that great creative spirit that hung over the formless void, and God spoke. In other words, the Spirit of God preceded out the Ruach of God, spoke. and creation began. The Spirit of God has always been there from the very beginning of time and will always be there to the very end of time. The Spirit of God empowers throughout the Old Testament. We hear the Spirit of God empowering God's people to follow God's will, empowering, involving, and giving of special gifts, particularly to the leaders that God has appointed to lead God's people, the children of Israel, and ensuring that the people of God hear God's voice so that God's will is communicated to the people of God. At least they have heard the will of God. Whether they follow the will of God or not is totally up to them. That is how we see the Spirit of God enacted throughout the Hebrew text or the Old Testament. When we move to the New Testament, we see a different dimension of the Holy Spirit there. There we know it as we see here in Acts. It says, suddenly there was a roaring, mighty windstorm that filled the house. And we hear it known as it was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. In the New Testament, it being Greek, we know of the Holy Spirit as the pneuma, which is the same thing as air, wind, spirit, and breath. But in the New Testament, we see an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we see it at the very beginning in the Gospels, when the Holy Spirit was there at the conception of John the Baptist and at the conception of Jesus the Christ. We see the Holy Spirit working through ordinary means to bring people to faith. And we see the Holy Spirit there as Jesus walked among the people to heal people, to feed people, to bring people back into the fold. And Jesus says throughout his ministry that he is not going to leave the people orphaned, that he is going to leave someone in his stead when he ascends. And he calls it the paraclete, or the advocate, or the comforter. In fact, the paraclete is a legal term that means defense attorney, meaning someone that is going to stand next to someone who stands in need, who makes the defense for that person. I don't know about you, but I like to know that there's someone standing next to me to make defense for me for when I am me and I do something that needs defending, right? So the paraclete, when Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit comes on that great day of Pentecost. And what we find that happens are those people who have been in hiding, those people who have been waiting, all of a sudden no longer are afraid but become bold and courageous, and they leave the upper room and they begin a movement that has been going on for thousands of years. They begin to speak boldly. They begin to no longer worry about whether they're going to be hunted down. They go to all ends of the earth. They begin to spread the gospel throughout all of the empires. And thus we're sitting here today because of what had happened to those people. Can't speak about the Holy Spirit unless we talk about the Trinity. And this is one of those weird kind of concepts that gives us trouble from time to time. The word Trinity is not found necessarily explicitly in Scripture, but it is implied implicitly within the Scripture. The Trinity is that great union of the triune community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's three distinct entities that are bound together. And to understand that, we need to use analogies, which are where you take concrete images to try to explain things that are not concrete. One of the best images that I know of, because I'm a science geek, is that of the atom. You know, an atom, except for hydrogen, is made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons that must come together bound by energies in order to form the atom, right? Just shake your head even if you don't know what I'm talking about. It makes me feel good. Okay? I know that Jan understands that. Yeah, Jan and I are the two science teachers who are very happy this right now. But in order for the atom to stay together, there must be an energy of internuclear energies. And we can talk. Okay, look, the Sheldon in me has got to come out right now, okay? You got to have this internuclear forces and the quarks and quasars. Okay, fine. We'll talk about during fellowship time, all right? Anyway, it's holding these together in order to form a complete atom. If you think of that analogy as though the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit being bound together as one. Three entities bound together as one. Another analogy is to think of the human body or the human being. You have the mind, the body, and the spirit. We need all three of those, right, in order to be a complete human being, bound together. Yeah, we can think of those as three separate parts of us bound together as one. But like all analogies, they break down in the end. We know that there are these three complete entities, yet they are all God, all bound together, working in this wonderful dance known as the God triune community. For it is a triune community that creates us to be in community. That's why we are desperately, woefully incomplete if we're not within a faith community. We need each other in order to fulfill our spiritual walk. We need each other to be complete. That's why we cannot, left by ourselves, are desperately, desperately broken. We need each other. So I don't know about you, but when I become isolated, I go into deep, dark places. I need sisters and brothers of the faith to keep me grounded, to keep me on the pathway toward learning how to love perfectly. So how does the Holy Spirit work within us? What does the Holy Spirit do for us at work? One of the ways in which I've experienced the Holy Spirit are those nudges. You ever experienced those that say, Pat, you need to kind of make a phone call? Or Pat, you need to go here. Maybe you need to speak to this person. And sometimes I ignore those. And I find out later that I really should have been in that place. I really should have made that phone call because somebody needed me to do that. Oftentimes, I find myself in public places and I see someone and I just smile at them. And the next thing you know, I'm involved in a conversation. I know that's hard to believe that I actually talk to people outside of here. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. But you know, it's amazing how you get into conversations with people and all they needed to know is somebody noticed them. That's the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Or to pick up that phone and I just say, I just had you on my mind, wanted to reach out to you. And they say, oh, Pat, I'm so glad you called because I just needed to hear from you. That's the nudge of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, like I said, I've ignored that and I find out later I missed the opportunity to share Christ's love with someone. The other way in which I believe the Holy Spirit has worked in my life and has worked in yours is through the means of grace or through the experience of grace. We've talked about grace before when we were looking at United Methodist beliefs, but we know that prevenient grace is working in our lives before we even know that. That's the Holy Spirit working within us through the means of prevenient grace. And we come to that moment in which we realize that we are in need of forgiveness. That's the Holy Spirit prompting our hearts through justifying grace, that we need to come back to God or that we need to say yes to God. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And once we say yes to grace, yes to God, it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, teaching us how to love perfectly through sanctifying grace. That's the Holy Spirit teaching us how to be more like Christ, how to be Christ to the world, how it is that we are in need of grace continuously, and how we are needing to love the world as Christ loved the world. That is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit binding us together in love as a community that tells us how to accept one another, warts and all, how to accept each other and love each other. That is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's everyday things. And also the great big things. We've all may have had those moments in which we just experience the divine presence of God. That is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is ever present, always with us, working outside of ourselves and working within ourselves. Whenever there's a disaster, you see people stepping up to the plate, right? You want to give. That is the Holy Spirit working in your lives. We've seen it here when we've had the floods, right? Or when we had the wildfires up in Upper East in the Gatlinburg area. That was the Holy Spirit speaking in our lives, saying, do something for good. That is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is ever present. But then I wonder if we live spirit deficient lives. So oftentimes we shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit because we don't become overly emotional, overly enthusiastic. So we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit like we should. But some of us live spirit-deficient lives because we think we want to do it all on our own. It's all about my own power, my own ability to direct my lives. We think it's all about me. We think that we must live within our own selves and not allow God to direct our lives. Sometimes we don't want to care about the other person. Sometimes we only care about ourselves and what's going on in our own world. Sometimes we want to stay stuck where we are. We don't want change because change hurts. Well, guys, the only thing that's constant in the world is change. And if we're going to grow, we have to change. We're going to become like Christ. We're going to have to transform and allow the Spirit to transform within us. Sometimes we are afraid that if we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, that we're going to have to allow the Spirit to examine us, to be real, and to say honestly, where have we strayed from God? And that means we're going to have to be honest and authentic and confess. Confess where we've sinned and where we have taken away from the glory of God, taken away from the sovereignty of God, and not allow Christ to be Lord in our lives. You know, spirit deficiency lives are anemic lives, lives without purpose, lives without meaning, lives that are aimlessly wandering around. You see, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the work of the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit will lead us to a better life, a better community. I believe the Holy Spirit is here not only as our advocate and our companion and our counselor, but I believe the work of the Holy Spirit will make us a community, the bride of Christ, the church. I believe the Holy Spirit will lead us to lives of peace and humility. I believe the Holy Spirit is the best answer we have for the problems of this world. I believe as people of faith, if we will get on our knees and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and transform us, that we will see change in this world that has never been seen since the days of the book of Acts. I believe the Holy Spirit is what we need right now in our world. For there is too much hate, too much anger, too much war, too much poverty, too much. I believe the Holy Spirit is what we need right now in our lives. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.